I love my morning coffee, but sometimes the crash hits harder than the caffeine. That's when I switch to Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee infused with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics, giving me smooth, focused energy that actually lasts. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Enter for a chance to win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod. A Christmas miracle. I'm Jason Horton.
I'm Rebecca Lieb.
And this is Ghost Town.
Christmas Eve, 1914, in the dank, war-torn trenches on the Western Front, a remarkable thing happened. It was World War I, and the Central and Allied powers had been fighting bitterly. At the light of dawn, the fighting stopped. German soldiers emerged from their trenches, as did the Allied forces, calling out Merry Christmas in their enemies' native tongues. At first, the Allied soldiers feared it was a trick, but it was not. Replacing the bloodletting and death was singing, partying, and even football. It was a day of peace history would call the Great Christmas Truce. A little background to start. If you remember your high school history, World War I, also known as the Great War, began in 1914 after the assassination of Archduke Franz Ferdinand of Austria. The assassination set off a rapidly escalating chain of events. Austria-Hungary blamed the Serbian government for the attack and hoped to use the incident as justification to stamp out Serbian nationalism once and for all. Other countries quickly picked sides, and during the Four-Year War, Germany, Austria-Hungary, Bulgaria, and the Ottoman Empire, known as the Central Powers, fought against Great Britain, France, Russia, Italy, Romania, Canada, Japan, and the United States, known as the Allied Powers. The first 8 weeks of World War I were particularly brutal, with German troops successfully attacking and occupying Belgium with enormous siege cannons. Leaving death and destruction in their wake, the Germans advanced through Belgium towards France, killing any resistors. Meanwhile, the French and British troops used trench warfare to hold off the Central Powers. Though this is a, of course, gross simplification of what was happening, what you should know is that the two sides were in bitter combat, and both military and civilian casualties abounded. Just weeks into the war, tens of thousands had already died by way of new technologies like machine guns and fighter jets. As the war continued into the winter months, the brutal cold only made war and survival more difficult. But on Christmas Eve, 1914, a remarkable thing happened. As the soldiers shivered in their frigid, muddy trenches, trying to keep warm and, you know, not die, the fighting on the Western Front grew quiet. British machine gunner Bruce Bairn's father, later a prominent cartoonist, wrote about it in his memoirs. Quote, "Here I was in this horrible clay cavity," Bairn's father wrote, "miles and miles from home, cold, wet, and covered with mud. There didn't seem the slightest chance of leaving, except in an ambulance." At about 10 p.m., Bairn's father noticed a noise. "I listened," he recalled. "Away across the field, along the dark shadows beyond, I could hear the murmur of voices." He turned to a fellow soldier in his trench and said, "Do you hear the Germans kicking up that racket over there?" "Yes," came the reply. "They've been at it some time." This racket is not what you might think it would be. The Germans were singing carols, as it was, of course, Christmas Eve. In the darkness, among cigarette and gunpowder smoke, some of the British soldiers tentatively began to sing back. Suddenly, Baron's father recalled, we had heard a confused shouting from the other side. We all stopped to listen. The shout came again. The voice was from an enemy soldier speaking in English with a strong German accent. He was saying, come over here. One of the British sergeants answered, you come halfway. I come halfway. What happened next would stun the world, a moment in time that I can't imagine, especially in this day and age, would ever, ever be replicated. We'll tell you what went down after this break. Nervously, after weeks of bloody...
I used to love my morning coffee, until it stopped loving me back. The bloating, the discomfort, it just wasn't worth it anymore. Then I found Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee blended with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Now I get my morning ritual without the crash or the discomfort. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, you could win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Brutality, the Central Powers and the Allied Powers let the silence on the battlefield sink in and slowly climbed out of their trenches. Taking cues from the hazy figures on the other side of the battlefield, both parties met in no man's land, a barbed wire-filled space that separated the armies. No man's land mostly saw gun and cannon fire, and maybe an occasional soldier to come and collect the dead. But now the two sides were shaking hands and making small talk. One soldier had wine, another tobacco, and together, the Germans, French, and British had the strangest collective holiday party in history. Baron's father himself could not believe his eyes. Quote, here they were, the actual practical soldiers of the German army. There was not an atom of hate on either side. I have to emphasize that this was not confined to the battlefield. Starting on Christmas Eve, small pockets of French, German, Belgian, and British troops held impromptu ceasefires all across the Western Front, with reports of some on the Eastern Front as well, and in some cases, these unofficial truces remained intact for days. Roughly 100,000 British and German troops were involved in the informal cessations of hostility on Christmas. The Germans placed candles on their trenches and on Christmas trees, then continued the celebration in no man's land. Small gifts were exchanged there, like tobacco, alcohol, and souvenirs like buttons and hats. What helped matters were, by many, a shared common language. Many German soldiers had lived in England, particularly London, and were familiar with English customs. Several British soldiers recorded instances of Germans asking about news from the football leagues, while other conversations involved the weather or loved ones. As Christmas Eve turned into Christmas Day, Brigadier General Walter Congreve, commander of the 18th Infantry Brigade, wrote a letter recalling that the Germans had declared the truce for the day, and while reluctant to recognize it due to his fear of German snipers, it became a meeting of shaking hands and smoking. He wrote that one of his captains, quote, smoked a cigar with the best shot in the German army. Bruce Baron's father continued to write of the encounter, quote, I wouldn't have missed that unique and weird Christmas Day for anything. I spotted a German officer, some sort of lieutenant, I should think, and being a bit of a collector, I intimated to him that I had taken a fancy to some of his buttons. I brought out my wire clippers and, with a few deft snips, removed a couple of his buttons and put them in my pocket. I then gave him two of mine in exchange. The last I saw was one of my machine gunners, who was a bit of an amateur hairdresser in civil life, cutting the unnaturally long hair of a German who was patiently kneeling on the ground whilst the automatic clippers crept up the back of his neck. Henry Williamson, a 19-year-old private in the London Rifle Brigade, wrote to his mother about the truce. "Dear mother, I'm writing from the trenches. It is 11 o'clock in the morning. Beside me is a coke fire, opposite me a dugout with straw in it. The ground is sloppy in the actual trench, but frozen elsewhere. In my mouth is a pipe presented by the Princess Mary. In the pipe is tobacco. Of course, you say, but wait, in the pipe is a German tobacco? Ha ha ha, you say, from a prisoner or found in a captured trench. Oh dear, no, from a German soldier. Yes, a live German soldier from his own trench. Yesterday the British and Germans met and shook hands in the ground between the trenches and exchanged souvenirs and shook hands. Yes, all day Christmas Day, as I write. Marvelous, isn't it?" Captain Robert Miles of the King's Shropshire Light Infantry recalled in a letter that was published in the Daily Mail and the Wellington Journal and Shrewsbury News in January 1915 about the event. He said, quote, "Friday, Christmas Day. We're having the most extraordinary Christmas Day imaginable, a sort of unarranged and quite unauthorized but perfectly understood and scrupulously observed truce exists between us and our friends in the front. The funny thing is it only seems to exist in this part of the battle line. On our right and left, we can hear all of them firing away as cheerful as ever. Here, the agreement, all on our own, came to be made that we should not fire at each other until after midnight tonight. The men were all fraternizing in the middle. We naturally did not allow them too close to our line, and swapped cigarettes and lies in the utmost good fellowship. Not a shot was fired all night." Of course, what Miles didn't know was that this wasn't the only instance of a truce. It was happening across many fighting lines. In fact, the truce went so far, and though this is unverified, many accounts involve one or more football matches played in no man's land, often naming units or the score. Robert Graves, a British poet and writer, and an officer on the front line at the time, wrote about the encounter in a story published in 1962. In Graves' version, again, it's unverified and we can't know if these games were played for sure, the score was 3-2 to the Germans. But then, on Christmas Day, 1914, as the day waned on in the later afternoon, the fog of reality crept back in. Both sides went back to their trenches, readying themselves to continue fighting. As Alfred Anderson, the last known surviving Scottish veteran of the war, vividly recalled, "The silence ended early in the afternoon and the killing started again. It was a short peace in a terrible war." The truces would not be reported in the U.S. and Great Britain for a week, eventually making their way to the masses from press in the New York Times and the Mirror. Called, quote, "one of the greatest surprises of a surprising war." By January 8, 1915, pictures had also made their way to the press, showing photographs of British and German troops mingling and singing between the lines. For Germans, in early January, an official statement on the truce was published, downplaying the event itself, likely not to make Germans seem soft or yielding. The statement claimed the truce was restricted to the British sector of the front and amounted to little more than exchange of songs, which quickly degenerated into shooting. The press of then-neutral Italy published a few articles of the events themselves, specifically outlining the football games, songs, and merriment had by both sides. Of course, World War I would continue on until November 11, 1918, when the Allied powers and Germany agreed to a ceasefire. The Treaty of Versailles in 1919 would impose harsh terms on Germany, leading to lasting resentment and instability in Europe. Again, a gross generalization, but getting the sense of how Europe ended after this great war. It's incredibly important to note that by the time the war was over and the Allied powers had won, more than 16 million people, soldiers and civilians alike, were dead. The Great Christmas Truce, while minuscule in comparison to the suffering and casualties of World War I, and eventually World War II, would preserve and prove a beacon of hope. An example that, when given the chance and in the most extreme situations, humanity exists, and perhaps, even just for a day, persevere. Merry Christmas.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.